and welcome to the Psych in Business podcast, where we highlight the integration of psychology and psychological principles into the world of business and organizations. I'm your host, Dr. Ernest Wade. I'm happy to introduce you to our guest today. His name is Kevin Stoffel, and he is a consultant focusing in pre-talent screening, emotional intelligence, and leadership development. Kevin is the founder and owner of Strong People Systems, where he helps people unlock their potential so they can sing the song they were created to sing. I love that, by the way. Kevin has a diverse background, including marketing and in the technology industry. He also has a background helping companies get the right people in the right jobs and developing people to unlock their full potential. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Kevin, I'm really excited to talk to you, and I have been since we first had our first chat, because you have a very interesting and diverse background. It kind of reminds me of mine a little bit, in that you've done some work in the technology industry, and you've done some work in working with people and people systems. So tell us a little bit about that. How did you walk this path, and how did it all come together?
Yeah, so I describe most of us go through our careers kind of like a sailboat out in the middle of the ocean. Mm-hmm. But the problem is we don't have a rudder on our boat. And so we kind of are left to go whichever way the winds are blowing. Yep. And those winds can be people and money and opportunity and teachers and parents and all these external forces that blow us in different directions. Mm-hmm. So for my sailboat journey started out when I was getting ready to go to college. I had no idea what I wanted to go for. So I did the typical thing back in the day, and I went to my guidance counselor, and he looked at my grade and said, "Oh, you're pretty good in math. You should go for computer science." Mm. It was the next bit, early 80s, computers, the next big thing kind of thing. And so, the winds blew me off into college for a computer science degree. And I realized about my second or third year of school that, I could write software, but it didn't do much for me sort of emotionally, mm-hmm. From a heart perspective. And so I turned my business minor into a major, but I was far enough along in the computer major, I figured I might as well finish it out. So I did. I graduated with a computer science degree and a business administration degree. And then the next wind was I followed a girl. I grew up in Iowa, followed a girl to Des Moines, that I met my last year of school. So that took me down there, looked around there. Back in those days, you looked in the newspaper for the wanted ads.
Yeah.
Saw a job selling computers. And I thought, oh, computer degree and a business degree, I can sell computers to businesses.
Yeah.
So I got into the computer hardware and software distribution industry, and meandered around in that world for about 15 or 17 years, doing sales, marketing, business development for computer hardware, software, internet software companies. And it was the last software company that I was at that had somebody come in and did sort of a leadership development, team building, kind of a program with us. And they had us take an assessment. And that's my first exposure to the world of psychology, really, mm-hmm. in the form of assessments. And it was like, oh, this is fascinating. I knew we were all wired differently, but I didn't realize, that we could actually measure that.
Yeah.
How we're wired. And so that really started, I took that information from that leadership program, and it really kind of started my own career counseling process on myself to say, based on how I'm wired, what am I really wired to be? Mm-hmm. And I really, in that process, I really discovered that I was more wired to be more of a teacher, counselor, coach. Mm-hmm. And I'd often thought about teaching high school and coaching football as kind of a rewarding career at this, 15 years into my career. But I didn't have a teaching degree, didn't want to go back and get one. Unfortunately, teachers don't make much money. I was in a technology field making six-figure income. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of put it on the back burner until the dot-com bubble burst. And then I went back to that and I said, teacher, counselor, coach. I started looking around for small business ideas. And I came across the idea of career coaching and life coaching and executive coaching and leadership mm-hmm. coaching. Mm-hmm. But, teaching, counseling, coaching. Teaching, I had these blinders on of academics and athletics as the only way of teaching and coaching.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a whole world of teaching and coaching and counseling in the business world. And so that's how I got into it started back in 2003.
I love the way that you described that. It fits so well with the analogy of the sailboat, right? The wind blowing you here and there. And I love how the wind of psychology just blew you in that direction, right? Having experienced it and realized and benefited from it, you're able to recognize, well, what do I want to be? And engage in some self-awareness. And that took you to the process of recognizing that, hey, coaching and consulting and teaching really fits well into your mold. So I really appreciate that story of yours.
Yeah. And like I said, you think about it, there's just a myriad of people that are in those sailboats without the rudders, and they become an accountant because their parents were, their dad was an accountant, or they become mm-hmm. an engineer because, you know, dad was an engineer or whatever, or, you know, just there's, you talk to anybody that's been in the working world for a while, mm-hmm. and you realize how many people have degrees in something that they've never used.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, computer science, engineering, accounting, you know, marketing, whatever it happens to be, but they got pushed off in those directions and started down the path for external force winds, you know, reasons rather than internal drives and internal understanding of themselves.
So let's talk a little bit about what you do, because I know that you focus on talent screening and assessments. Firstly, start with what is that, right? And then talk about why that's important, because as you're talking about here, a lot of people don't necessarily have the drive for things that they end up doing. So how does that show up in talent screening? How do you work all of that out?
Yeah, so I specialize in two areas, and I use assessments of both areas. So on one area, it's talent screening. So it's helping companies bring some objective data into their hiring screening selection process. Mm-hmm. So we typically, you know, as business leaders and owners and managers, we typically rely on two primary inputs for our hiring decisions, resumes and interviews. Mm-hmm. And those two things tend to be very subjective. So assessments are a measure of people's aptitudes. And so I provide assessments to business owners to incorporate into their hiring screening process, mm-hmm. measure how people think, how they behave, what interests them or what motivates them, so that they can go through a process to define what are the aptitudes required by a given job. Mm-hmm. And those are going to be different for a sales position than they are for an accounts payable position, as an example. And then they measure the aptitudes of the candidates that they're considering for the job and compare their results in the assessment to the profile of what they're looking for to see, are they a great fit, somewhat of a fit, or kind of a mismatch. Mm-hmm. So it just brings some objective data to go along with the subjective resumes and interviews to try to make a more objective and therefore hopefully more successful hiring selection decision, so that they, you know, do a better job of bringing the right people on board or onto the bus, if, you know, to use mm-hmm. Jim Collins' analogy of getting the right people on the bus and the right seat on the bus.
And when we're talking about like those screening assessments, it doesn't necessarily mean that if you don't score, if you don't match up exactly, you can't do the work. It just indicates that it might take you a little bit more effort, right?
Exactly. That's exactly right. It's not a pass fail. It's just a question of, do your natural aptitudes line up with the job's, you know, required aptitudes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, anybody can do any job. There's no doubt about that. But I use an analogy of, you know, kind of like writing, you know, writing. If I asked you to sign your name right now, you'd probably pick up the pen with your right hand.
Right.
If I asked you to, you know, sign your name with the other hand, you can put the pen in your other hand and you can do it, but it takes a lot more energy, a lot more effort. You have to focus on bridging the gap between who I am, what the job is asking me to do, how do mm-hmm. I hold the pen, how to position the paper, how do I make my hand draw out these letters and so forth.
Yeah.
So you can do it. It just takes a lot more energy, a lot more effort. And if you think about it, nobody really wants to get up every day and go to a job where they have to write with their opposite hand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was doing in computer science. I was writing with my opposite hand because I was sitting at a computer, you know, writing software code, you know, in college. And I realized that that's like writing with my opposite hand. I'm much more of a people person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's much more, you know, that's more of a task, you know, career.
You know, this is what I appreciate about assessments like this, because I think it can be very helpful for the organization to see how good a fit this person might be, but also very helpful for the talent, right? For the individual that's applying to say, how good a fit would you be for this work? Are you willing to put in that extra effort? So it helps build that self-awareness, I think, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Because most people just have never, you know, taking the time, you know, to invest in themselves to really understand who they are, you know, through mm-hmm. the use of assessments or those kinds of things. So they're in that real sailboat in the middle of the ocean without the rudder, and they're just saying, "Oh, there's money, there's opportunity, there's a connection, there's a relationship, there's a, you know, somebody I like, you know, kind of thing." And they go in those directions without any real intentionality behind who are they in terms of steering their sailboat.
Yeah, I love, I mean, I just to work with your analogy here. So the work that you do is really helping them to build their own rudder, right? So that they can have some more direction and have some more control in the direction that they're going. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah. So on the screening side, it's not so much about building their own rudder. It's about giving the employer a chance to, you know, to kind of look at who they are and, you know, steer their boat a little bit for them in terms of, you know, making the decision for them by whether or not they are from a position or not.
Mm-hmm.
Once somebody's, you know, working for an organization that when I get into working with existing staff,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's maybe been there for a while, or maybe it's a new employee or whatever, it could be both, either or, that's really is about building, you know, putting a rudder on their sailboat. That's really about helping them go through a process to discover their why, their innate strengths, their core values, their energizers, their drainers, you know, all the things that go into who are you as an individual, what really drives you, you know, from a, like I said, from a why or purpose perspective, from an innate strengths perspective, from a needs perspective, from a motivational perspective, really help people go through that self-discovery process. So yeah. They then can take control of their boat and start steering that boat, you know, once they're, you know, in a job. And they, you know, think about it, you know, you have a lot of opportunities in organizations to steer your boat by volunteering for certain tasks, you know, that fit with who you are. And if a manager has 10 employees, they can only, you know, they got to divide up their time and attention towards across 10 people. Mm-hmm. You're only one individual. If you know who you are, you can 100% of your focus can go towards, you know, steering your own boat, and you have a much better chance of steering it in a, you know, successful direction than a manager that's trying to slice his time or energy across 10 people or more.
So taking some self-ownership of that, I think, is really important. And I know you help a lot with that through your coaching program. And I know you have a program. It's Leaders Equipped to Actualize Potential. That's the LEAP program, right? So tell us a little bit about that program, how that works, and how you use that to help leaders, you know, increase their self-actualization and self-awareness.
Yeah, so there's really kind of a program that usually spread out over the course of a year. And it's usually, I go into organizations and work with teams, start out with a leadership team and then kind of work down to the next layer team, you know, level with managers and so forth. But it's a combination of group coaching or group training sessions and one-on-one coaching. And there's really kind of a three-part process. The first part is kind of a self-discovery process, really helping people understand who they are, like I said, was describing from a why, a strengths, and a values perspective, and where they're going. And then it's teaching them about a model that I use called I refer to as the Great People System. It's based on the laws of energy. Mm-hmm. And there's really seven elements to this model. And if you think about energy, you have a generator of energy, you have a receiver of energy, you have a positive line out to wire that generator of energy and that receiver of energy. You know, it could be a refrigerator and an outlet as the generator. And you have a wire going out and a wire coming back. And you have insulation on those wires to protect those wires from short circuiting, right? So energy goes out and energy comes back, and if you get those things hooked up in the right way, the refrigerator runs and it makes your food cold, right? It keeps your food cold.
Right.
But if you hook it up in the wrong way, you know, it doesn't work. So the same principles apply to the human experience. We are the generator of energy. We need to know what our design specifications are. Mm-hmm. We have a set of goals or outcomes, you know, most of which are around our career. That's our receiver of energy. Those two things have to be designed to work together, right? And so if you get into a job, you know, for me, getting into computer science, that receiver of energy didn't work for my generator, right? It didn't give me any emotional reward kind of thing. So it really is, it's about helping people understand who they are, where they're trying to go, taking the responsible, courageous action to get there, and then being open and receptive for the energy to come back to them. Because we put all that energy out into the world in our jobs, we've got to get two things back. We've got to get a financial paycheck back. We've got to get an emotional paycheck back. Mm-hmm, one without the other doesn't work, right? If all we're getting is a financial paycheck back because we're not in alignment with who we are, again, going back to my example, me putting out the energy to write software code, I could have made a living doing that. And I could have earned a good paycheck, you know, writing software code. But it didn't do anything for me emotionally. So pretty soon it would have been just a job. You know, I would have been burnt out, exhausted, looking for other work.
Kevin, do you have any examples of how you've applied this system with any leaders, so we can kind of really see how that actually works?
Yeah. So a good example is a lady that started out. She went through the program. She was a staff accountant for a credit union organization, financial organization, and she was a staff accountant. And she went through the program, and she was in her early 50s at the time. And she realized through that self-discovery process that she was a entertainer commander personality style. Mm-hmm. So she liked to connect with people, and she liked to get things done, kind of a more bold personality style. But she was working in a role as a relator organizer. She was working in a staff accounting role, which was very much behind the scenes, you know, task-oriented kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Wasn't really people-oriented. And so anyway, when she went through this program, she got to the end of it, she said, so I've been through a lot of leadership development programs before, and I, you know, being in her early 50s. And she said, this was really kind of a self-discovery process. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what she discovered was that she was really an entertainer commander. So she was much more people and action oriented. And she ended up getting within a span of about 3 or 4 years, when she realized who she was and put that rudder on her sailboat and what mm-hmm. her purpose was, she went from being a staff accountant to a staff to an accounting manager to the director of operations to the CEO of the organization.
Oh, wow.
In a span of about 3 or 4 years.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah.
Because she really, and she was in her 50s. She had, you know, we think by the time we reach our 50s, we kind of know who we are. But mm-hmm. she didn't discover who she was really until she, you know, went through this program. And when she discovered it, it was like this flower blossoming mm-hmm. into, you know, a whole nother level of professionalism and opportunity.
That's really interesting. So really that all stemmed from that increase in the enhancing of the self-awareness, really understanding where her energies were and where what filled her tank, right? And so that first part of it was building that awareness of that information before, so that she could use that to act upon it.
Absolutely. Yeah, she put a rudder on her sailboat, became aware of who she was. And then once we become aware, we start to become more understanding. Mm-hmm. Once we become more understanding, we become more accepting. Once we become more accepting of ourselves, we become more kind towards ourselves. And once we start to be kind towards ourselves, then we can become more aware, understanding, accepting, and kind towards others. And then we can build better relationships, and then we can build better teamwork, and we can achieve our peak potential. Mm-hmm. But everything starts with awareness. I can't stress that enough.
This is really interesting, Kevin, because what I'm thinking now is, so I completely understand how this works from the individual point of view, right? But I'm thinking from the organization point of view, when we do the talent screening, you have to start with understanding the role, right? You have to understanding the energy around the role. So do you do that? Do you engage in helping the organization understand the energies around the role before they even look for what the fit would be?
Yeah, and that's part of that process is defining a model or performance model of what does this position require? So, mm-hmm. you know, back to the accounting example, if you're going to hire an accountant that's going to sit at their desk and enter accounting transactions all day, doing spreadsheets and using QuickBooks and, you know, whatever kind of stuff, you want somebody that is energized by that task, that routine, that process, that procedure, that task orientation, mm-hmm. versus somebody that's energized by getting out and meeting, engaging with people and interacting with people and connecting with people all day long, mm-hmm. right? So you define the model around what's the energy required for that particular role.
So even with that, you've got to really identify what are the behavioral aspects identified around the role before you can look for that behavioral profile on the applicant. So even I think this is what's really so interesting about even the workplace, right? Even the different roles and the different processes, you can still identify what are the different energies, different behavioral profiles that are associated around these things to identify who might best fit into these roles.
Absolutely. You're 100% spot on correct.
Now, Kevin, I know from my experience when I went from working in the technology industry to working with people, it was such an aha moment because it was one of those things where I thought to myself, if I had known about all these things when I started working with people, I would have been much better in the technology industry. What was that transition like for you when you moved from working the technology industry to working to more people systems?
It was, you know, there was a part of me that kind of said, boy, if I'd known then what I know now, mm-hmm. you know, I would have, when I went off to college, I would have went off for psychology. I would have, you know, got the degree that, you know, the degree that you have.
Yeah.
But in hindsight, at the same time, if I would have done that, I wouldn't have gained all of the sales, the marketing, business development, all the experiences mm-hmm. that that going down the wrong path for me gave me personally. So yeah. Now it makes me much more passionate about what I'm doing to help other people.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I could have gone to a place of regret. It's like, oh man, I wasted 17 years in that stupid technology industry. Rather than, you know, I could have been doing this stuff. But I think all that just feeds, you know, gives me more credibility, more validity. Yeah. I'm working with my clients now to say, I've been there. I've been in your yeah. shoes. I've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so it gives me more credibility in understanding where they're coming from, which yeah. gives me more ability to really help, you know, empathize with them, sympathize with them, to help them, you know, go through their own, whatever transition they might find themselves going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that really, that word is really important. It allows you to really empathize with, especially the people in the technology industry, because you've been in that field, you know what that's like, you know what the pressures are like, you understand the language. So it really is a benefit to you to be able to have that. I think somebody mentioned to me once that it's kind of like a unicorn, because there's not a lot of people who can speak the language of technology and speak the language of people. And you are basically a bridge, you know, like you are someone who can facilitate communication between those two things. So I really appreciate the work that you do.
Yeah. 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 It's a rare scenario, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Kevin, I want to ask, how do people get a hold of you? How do people, contact you for your services, or want to continue the conversation with you? What's the best way to reach you?
Best way is via email. My email is really simple. It's just kevin@strongpeoplesystems.com. Mm-hmm. kevin@strongpeoplesystems.com. And I'd love to make an offer to, you know, your audience, which is I'm launching a new program, a new meetup meeting that's going to be the second Wednesday of every month, mm-hmm. 10 a.m. Mountain Time. I'm calling it and doing it with another psychologist by the name of Dr. Sherry Buffington. And it's just going to be an hour-long meetup. It's totally free. It's a chance for business leaders, owners, executives, entrepreneurs to come together to up-level their leadership and emotional intelligence game. We call it the ABCs mm-hmm. of emotional intelligence and leadership development. And so we're just going to meet for an hour virtually online, so anybody, you know, anywhere across the country can attend free of charge. And Dr. Sherry Buffton and I will present 15 or 20 minutes on some topic. The first month's topics in February 14th at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, is going to be intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation mm-hmm. and the role they play in performance.
Awesome.
So it's really helping people understand intrinsic versus extrinsic and what's the roles differences between those two in performance when it comes to employees and leaders.
That's such a great offer, Kevin. I think anything that we can offer that helps people to increase their understanding and their self-awareness, you know, I think any of that, especially with terms of emotional intelligence, is really valuable, because I think people don't even appreciate enough the value of emotional intelligence and the importance of building your self-awareness. So I appreciate that offer. Thank you.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll present for 15 or 20 minutes on that, on a topic each month. And then the rest of the hour, you know, 30, 40 minutes will be discussion amongst the participants, you know, questions and answers and sharing examples and best practices and mm-hmm. you know, experiences and whatever. So people can learn from each other, because that's really where a lot of value comes as well, is leaders learning from other leaders based on their experiences and their examples and so forth.
Yeah. I think this is such a great opportunity, because a lot of times when I work with managers and leaders, it can be such an isolating experience, right? Leaders don't often have the opportunity to engage with other leaders and to, you know, share best practices and to bounce things off of people. So it can be very isolating. And I know leaders and managers really appreciate the opportunity to engage with other leaders and managers and be able to share in community. So I think this is a great platform.
Yeah. So if anybody's interested in that, they can just send me an email at kevin@strongpeoplesystems.com, and I'll send them a link to register for that event, and they'll get the Zoom link and so forth once they register. But yeah, we'd love to have any of your listeners attend that. And, you know, like I said, it's just a chance to up-level your leadership game mm-hmm. Through learning something new self-awareness-wise and engaging with other leaders.
Yeah, that's a great opportunity. Now, Kevin, before I let you go, I always want to take advantage of the experts we have in the show and ask, what's one advice or recommendation or tip that you have for the audience in terms of leadership and development, especially in this day and age that we're in right now?
Yeah. So my number one recommendation, it's kind of what we've been talking about really, is take the time to invest your time, your money, your energy, your resources in better understanding yourself. As mm-hmm. we talked about, you know, as I said earlier, it all starts with awareness, self-awareness. Once we become more aware, understanding, accepting, and kind towards ourselves, we can do those things towards other people, become more aware, understanding, accepting, and kind towards them. Mm-hmm. And that leads to better relationships and better teamwork and better, you know, achieving your peak potential. But yeah. we tend to think that investing in ourselves is somehow selfish, but it's really the best gift that we can give to ourselves and give to the people that are around us. Mm-hmm. Because the more kind, and it's hard to be kind to others unless we can be kind towards ourselves.
Yeah.
And so, but that all starts with investing in ourselves and becoming more aware of who we are, so we can become more understanding, accepting, and kind.
Yeah, I really appreciate that advice, especially for leaders, because it's hard to lead others if you can't even lead yourself. If you don't understand yourself, if you don't appreciate, you know, who you are and your strengths and your challenges, it's really hard to lead others. So I think this is spot on.
Yeah, that's my one thing I say is, you know, leadership is about self-leadership. It's not about what I can do to other people to lead them. It's about leading myself well and setting a great example that inspires other people to want to follow. Mm-hmm. Inspirational leadership is, to me, the purest form of leadership. Mm-hmm. And that's all we can really do. But we're the hardest person in the world to lead because we have a hard time getting out of our own way.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Kevin, thanks very much. This has been so much fun, and I really appreciate you coming on the show and talking about all the great things that you're doing.
I really appreciate the opportunity, and I hope your audience gets something out of it.
Fantastic. And to our audience, thanks for listening. We hope you'll join us next time. Thank you.